brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
A kid being coached by Coach Boone is definitely going to be a better person by the time they get done.
I want my players not only to love the game of football, I want them to be able to be developed on the field, but off the field.
This is a sleeping giant of North Georgia.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Here, John here, Hannah there. Off season, there is no such thing. And this time around, we wanted to talk about coaching carousel. And we caught up with some interesting folks in some new jobs and some interesting folks in new places in new jobs.
I'm really excited about this podcast today. We have three of what I think are the biggest names in new roles in the state on the podcast today. We're gonna leave that right there. Do we want to say their names? Do we want to tease it?
Well, I mean, we got to wait.
Okay.
All right. So
Jeremy says yes.
So go ahead. And
we have the new Northside Warner
and
Robins head coach Boone Williams.
Yes.
Coming up first, we have the new Dalton High School head coach Chris Pruitt and Prince Avenue Christian, big shoes to fill following Coach Vandegrift, and that is head coach John Richt, son of Mark Richt, on and last but not least at the end. So really great podcast today, catching up with them. But John, this time of year, there's always a percentage, like 35%.
Well, not that much.
Okay, what's the percentage of coach
turnover?
It's usually
around 18 to 20%.
Okay.
Because you're talking 425, I think, openings in the state of Georgia, and this year we've had 79. So you're 80 in the 425. So 8/4. So it's like, you know, it's, what's? I need math help here, people.
Don't look at me.
So 79/425. So get your calculators out. So 8/42 is 4/21. So,
you have a device in your hand that could do this.
Well,
for you.
I do. That's,
yeah, you do. It's 18.5%.
Okay, so 18.
Thank you, Jeremy.
So 18,
but it was fun to hear John like struggle through it.
I'm just letting him absolutely ramble on that.
Yeah. So 18.5%. That's about on. It's pushing the high side because traditionally we've seen 20 and 22 in some really chaotic years in the past. But 18.5%. It's a little on the high side. I think it's more than last year by about 10 or 12. But you've got a lot of names that have been.
Yeah, what are some of the other big names besides our podcast guests?
Well, Calvary Day, Mark Stroud retired, and Jason Cameron, who we know is the former head coach at Vidalia and the OC at Calvary Day, has taken over there. Tommy Atha is a name familiar to Ambassador Jeremy because.
Yeah, yeah, very. Tell me about Coach Atha.
The Calhoun
absolutely.
Offensive Coordinator is now the new head coach at Cedartown. So why do you know Coach Atha?
I know because he was on the coaching staff with Jerry Sharp when I was at Darlington.
Yeah,
so Coach Atha has yelled at me a handful of times.
You see?
So, yeah. Yeah, it's good to know that he'll be yelling at some of the guys there in Cedartown.
Absolutely. Terrence Banks moves from Greene County to Central Gwinnett. Lenny Gregory, friend of the show, goes from Gordon Central to Commerce.
Okay.
So there's that one. Jabo Shaw is now back in the state of Georgia after a time at Greenville, South Carolina.
Always come back.
Dawson County. Shannon Jarvis retired at Elbert County. Andy Dyer steps in. So basically he goes from OC to head coach. And no real travel there. Andy still gets to keep the house on the lake. You've got... Kenny Dallas, that's another one. Kenny Dallas, friend of the show, friend of the network from his time at Trinity Christian. He took over for Jonathan Guess, who was at Hebron Christian. Corey Jarvis is back inside APS. He goes from Lithia Springs to KIPP. Larry Harold goes to Irwin County to take over for Coach Soliday after going from Central Gwinnett. So Larry Harold goes to South Georgia.
Where's Coach Soliday going?
He's going to go watch his son play baseball in college.
Oh. Amazing.
Adam Clack, the new head coach at Parkview.
Yes.
Coming back from Milton
that
and being the offensive coordinator. Get this. Adam Clack was the offensive coordinator for the Paris Musketeers in the European Football League. So he goes from Milton to Paris, France in the European League to come back and be an OC, and now he's the head coach at Parkview. So there's that's another one.
That's another really big one because Parkview has been up and down and up and down, and Coach Clack is a fantastic coach.
Yep, and so you also have Rance Gillespie going from Brookstone back to Rabun County. Pete Fominaez at Sprayberry after his time at Hiram. Rob Stowe went from Wilcox County back home to Union County and closer to see his son play baseball as well. And there's going to be a point that's going to be made by Boone here coming up in a second about the head coaches all there in Houston County. Steve DeVorsny returns to head coach in the state of Georgia. Goes from Orange Beach, Alabama as an assistant to be the head coach at Veterans. So,
well, all right.
79 coaches, still some vacancies, and we're still waiting to see who those are when they get filled.
Yeah, and we'll update you here on the podcast as we find out new head coaches in new places. But for now, let's get to our three guests, and we start things off with friend of the show, I mean family of the show, Coach Williams. Joining us now is head coach Boone Williams. Hey, coach, in some different colors today. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm enjoying it. Having a good time today.
That is
excited to get on with you guys.
I know. We are so excited to catch up since the postseason. That is one fancy office behind you, the wooden shelves.
She just wants the tour. Go ahead.
Give us the tour of the new office.
All right. That's our back, our trophy. And then if you spin around a little bit, you got office area, chairs, seat monitor.
I mean, that's you. All the coaches come into you because you got that long table with the six chairs and the two on the end and the monitors and all the trophies there from the history of Northside. I mean, I know that office going all the way back to Conrad Nixon, Kevin Kinsler. Now you get to sit in that office. What's that like, man?
I mean, it's an honor, one, to be at a school with so much prestige. It's also an honor to be to follow behind legends like you named, Coach Kinsler, Coach Nix, and the others that, you know, were before those guys. Mm-hmm. Coach Carpenter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we know Hughes is going to miss you. You had a regular season record of 63-17 as a head coach there, 16-4 in the postseason. You spent 12 years there, 6 as a head coach, winning a state championship. Was it hard to leave?
Yes. If I say it was easy to leave Langston Hughes, I would be beside myself. It was very hard to know what I built. That's my community, too. I played at Creekside High School. My house was 4 minutes away from Langston Hughes. My kids went to school right there. I had my son still in school there. So it was definitely a tough task to leave. So if I had to leave, I was leaving for something, you know, that was, you know, I couldn't say no to. And that was what Northside had to offer.
So what did they offer? I mean, we know the pedigree. We know the history. We've talked about it. We know what football means to Northside. But what attracted you to leave the home that you've had for basically your entire life? I mean, your entire life has been in that one area in South Fulton. And what attracted you to the north end of Georgia 247?
A couple things. One, a new challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Two, being a part of history. Three, go somewhere where tradition reigns supreme. I think this is a top-tier job in the state. The guys before me have set the tone and, you know, set the bar where it is. And to be able to lead a program, a national program of this caliber would be, you know, something that I would be remiss if I didn't say I would want to do it. I think that the ability to get the guys in this program back to where it was, the thought of that was one of the reasons why.
We can see the history up on the walls, all the trophies, but, and a big but, losing season last year, 2-8, and they've been down to rival Warner Robins the past couple of years. What's your plan to bring that historic winning seasons back there to Northside?
My initial plan is just to get the guys believing in themselves. We don't talk about wins and losses here. Just as I did at Langston, I didn't really talk about wins and losses. So here I don't talk about wins and losses. I want each kid to be better. A kid being coached by Coach Boone is definitely going to be a better person by the time they get done. We're going to learn. We're not going to learn how to win every game. We're going to learn how not to lose. You know, that goes a long way in life with kids. When you give them certain skills and, you know, that they can live and take with past here, That's my main goal. And anybody I talk to, everything I do is about the kids. So again, I want to build the kids to be better kids. And if everybody is trending in the right direction, the wins will come. We just got to do a better job of getting bigger, faster, stronger, and understanding what I'm asking them to do.
I know that when you had your first meeting there in the basketball arena, I think is where it was, you had big presentation that was there, and it was for anyone that had walked in that day. I'm guessing it was boosters and administration and stuff. And you had guidelines already laid out that you were saying, okay, there won't be this. There will not be this. You will not look this way. You will look this way. I mean, you were setting the standard for this program out of the blocks. What has the response been like ever since you had that presentation there inside the basketball arena?
It's been amazing. For this program to be 2-8 last year, the buzz around the building is something, because kids, the football players are buying in. They're locked there. The teachers walk by me every day. Thank you, coach. Thank you, coach. We appreciate you, because they're winning what I ask them to do. It's going past football. And it's the offseason, so this is where we win first. And like I tell anybody who listens, long as we're stacking, you can stack a brick, you can stack a car, you can stack a sheet of paper. Long as you're going up, we're going in the right direction. So I look at all those, and I don't measure my job wins to success. Success comes in different forms. So that's one of the things I'm honing in on right now. To them, to my players, to the administration, to everybody who will pay attention and listen. So to your question, everything that I talked about with my standards, the players understand the standard. They're right along with where we need to be right now.
What's your favorite part about Middle Georgia so far? I know you're getting settled in. You got any favorite new restaurants, any spots yet? Where are you taking the family?
honestly, I hope Middle Georgia guys don't take this wrong. The slowness of being around, like Warner Robins is a tad bit slow in the metro Atlanta. As a whole, I told my principal, we laughed about it. I said, you know, Dr. Dykes, the hardest thing about adjusting down here is how slow people drive. And again, it's from not metro Atlanta.
Well,
everybody's
but I mean,
not
that,
to
you go
nowhere,
on,
t- so
you go
just,
on 247, man, and that is a traffic stop. I mean, literally, it is a traffic jam on Georgia 247. You come off the freeway and you head in toward campus,
yeah.
Literally, you stop. I mean, it is.
So you slow down, yeah. Instantly.
Yes.
Instant slowdown.
Because they're not going fast. Yeah. One, they're not going fast. It's not like a yellow light means stop down here. At home, a yellow light's green still.
And then as soon as it turned red, it's still green.
Stop. It's still green sometimes. So just like that was one of the biggest, you know, differences. And like, I think the whole, it's more of a family feel down here, in a sense. It's 5 schools in Houston County, and everybody kind of understands they're part of town and just going here and, you know, going to be here. Tradition is everything at all these schools in Houston County.
You mentioned the slowness. Do you think that change of pace will help you in getting your message across, because you don't have as much that you were dealing with when you were at Langston Hughes and the pacing and everything? Is having that extra space to breathe, you think, is that going to be something that'll help you get your message across?
No, because I only know one speed as a head coach.
All right.
So my drive in to work is a little bit different, but once I hit work, all gas, no brakes, full steam ahead. And I think that I'm the reason for the speed there and the speed here, you know, because my mind, I'm always trying to go make this place better every day and every second.
Well, Coach, I can't tell you, Northside is so lucky to have you. I cannot wait to see what you do with this program. Like, I'm just itching for the football season. And then, of course, building time, right? So football season's to come.
Mm-hmm.
But truly cannot wait to see what you do there. That's all the questions I have.
Yeah,
John,
no, I'm good. I know that when we catch up with Boone, we can go for like 20 or 30 minutes just shooting the breeze.
You know, we have a good time, either on air, in person. You know, we always
we could go forever.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. So my last question for you, Boone, is this. Have you gotten to the point there in town yet where you can go into the local grocery store and
do you
get stopped in like aisle 7, aisle 9, people asking questions? Or do you have the note card out where you already know the responses and you just hand the note card out with the questions that everybody asks and it's like, yes, here's the answers to all the questions that you're looking for?
No, so when I do travel and go in places, people often recognize me, and it's not really much question. Everybody just introducing themselves. Hey, Coach, we're glad you're here. Thanks for coming. Things like that. I think that this is a great town, and I'm excited to be here. I think that the traditions in Houston County and the great coaches that are across Houston County as a whole are great. So I'm just one of the guys now. Shout out to the other Houston County coaches. I mean, it's us against them now.
I have a feeling that this rivalry is going to go back the other way with that red team soon. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to become a little bit more even with you at the helm there. Coach, thanks so much as always for catching up with us. And again, I just cannot wait to see what you do.
Hey man, as always, I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for Northside High School. And I'm eager to see where we go as well.
Second coach on the board, and as Hannah said, it was, it's odd seeing friends in new colors. This is definitely coming up another example of that. Chris Pruitt goes from Roswell to Dalton. We find out the why and how much of the history he knows going in.
And next up is the new Dalton High School head coach, Chris Pruitt. Hey, Coach, also in this weird red color.
I know, it's taking some adjustment to get used to here.
How are you?
Doing great. I appreciate you guys having me on, and it's definitely good to be seen in the red.
So spent a couple years at Roswell, headed up to Dalton. How are you settling in?
Yeah, things have been great. Was fortunate enough to start in January, and was able to kind of hit the ground running and, just kind of, in all honesty, try to figure out the lay of the land. Obviously, being 8 years at one place, you kind of get used to certain things, certain ways of doing things, certain places to go, certain things to do. And, it was nice to take a little bit of time and just figure out what's going on, figure out where to go, and, figure out how to get in the doors and where to go and where to be at what time. And, it's been great. Staff's in place, and, It's been nothing but a great experience up here at Dalton so far. The people have been awesome from the top down, and obviously just trying to fit, like I said, figure out the lay of the land and, try to get this thing back turned around the right way.
So I guess the obvious question, Coach, is why, and why Dalton? I mean, we know the pedigree, we know the history, we know everything that's attached to it, everything going back to Bill Chappell and championships and such. Why Dalton? Why now? And I guess, those questions, are the ones that linger for everybody.
I mean, yeah, it's a good question. And, in all honesty, once I got up here, it was honestly the people and meeting anybody and everybody that was around the football program. If I had any doubts and thinking about and taking that jump and moving to a different location, It was settled very, very quickly and very, very easily. The people here have been fantastic as far as support and being all hands on deck with trying to get this program back to where it needs to be. You spoke on the pedigree, for a program to have five losing seasons since 1959, to be the 14th winningest program in the state of Georgia, all were intriguing factors to me. And obviously it was a good time to kind of reset and take on a new challenge. And obviously, high school football is such a big factor in my upbringing and my raised in Warner Robins. So to be in that town or to be in a type of town like that is something that was definitely attractive to me, and to take my family to that side, sort of, set up is something that, obviously we were once we kind of heard about it and got the idea of what was going on, we were definitely very intrigued. And I'll be honest, you know, I think for the longest time I had more people try to tell me not to. And then when I got up here and saw it firsthand, I was like, these people are insane. I mean, this is a sleeping giant of North Georgia. And, you know, it just needs the right direction and the right things in place. And I think we're going to have some success here very, very quickly.
I have to be honest. When we all heard that you were heading to Dalton, we were like, what? He's going where? You spent 5 seasons at Roswell, 50-13 record. Dalton was 0-10 last year.
It's a really young team for Kit, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So much building there. But then at the same time, once the initial shock wore off, I was like, oh my gosh, look at the potential for Coach Pruitt at this program. That had to be something that definitely drew you. But that 0-10 is a little scary. So what's your plan there, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing I told the team the first time I talked with them. I said, you know, if we would try to run from 0-10 and act like it didn't happen, we'd be fooling ourselves. Like, we got to understand it happened, and you got to analyze what happened and what took place. And, you know, in the easiest way, don't do that again. there's a lot of things, obviously, behind the scenes that can go well and can go wrong. And, you know, I think our focus right now, and it's been our focus since I've been here in January, if we can focus on today and be the best version of ourselves today, like, that's all you can really control right now. Like, we can worry about North Murray in August and try to accomplish that right this second, but it's really not going to happen until August 15th when we play. And it's been our focus and our intent as we get going here, obviously, is just to be the best version of ourselves today, whether it's running this morning outside, whether it's knocking the lift out, or whether it's being a good student in the classroom today. Is just whatever we can do today to be the better version of ourselves. And I think you guys spoke to it. Very, very young team, very, very high potential. And, the thing I've told everybody is what's happening in that weight room and on the field is not an 0-10 product. So I'm excited for them to get to experience some success. And, there's a lot of kids in our program, A, that have either never won a high school football game or haven't won in over a year. So you gotta worry about competing at everything we're doing and trying to instill that confidence and instill that ability to compete at a high level, which is what we're trying to get accomplished right now.
What was the biggest lesson that you learned about yourself as a coach at Roswell that you think will help you the most up there at Dalton?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I learned a lot, obviously, in 5 years. I think I took over in the middle of COVID, so I had to learn that world as well as take over as a new head coach. I think I quickly learned the people that you surround yourself with are probably the most important people that you could have. In hiring coaches and looking for administrators and having people in the right positions was a huge factor. And obviously being up here at Dalton, being able to have all 12 of our coaches here every single day is a huge deal. Being able to have, when you ask for things and you need stuff, you know, it's different in Fulton County where you may have to call 10 people to get one answer. And if you're up here in Dalton, like, our system is all so incredible. Like, if you need some, you call one person and they can get it to you within the next 10 minutes. So being able to be in sort of that environment, and understand that that's something that I need to surround myself with. Our assistant coaches are everything. And it's the way that you build a program is you got to have 12 voices all being the exact same, and around and present as much as humanly possible. But, I think the biggest, if I sat back and looked at those 5 years at Roswell, I said, the biggest thing that I learned is, you know, we get 10 guaranteed opportunities, right? That's the guarantee that you get every single year. So that's 355 days of work and 355 days to prepare for those 10. And it's the only sport that has that ratio. It's the only sport that has that amount of work versus that amount of relief and competition
and anxiety
at a high level. Yeah. It's the only sport that has that. So, you know, I really said, I got to focus in on those 355 days and make sure we're filling them with the right things. Because if we're not, they're going to be filled with the wrong things. And that way our 10 opportunities, hopefully we can get five more, you know, and hopefully we can keep and get every one that you get after that is really a blessing. And, you know, take advantage of it when you can.
Something really cool about Dalton, it's been, well, not open. The program has been open since 1924, won state championship in 1967. Mm-hmm. Last time they went to the last game of the year was 2001. So we've mentioned the history of this program. What are some of the traditions that you've seen for people who don't know about Dalton? What are some of the things that make that program tick?
Well, I would say this, you know, was fortunate, like we've talked about, to be at Roswell a long time. And, you know, there was a lot of people that were former players or whatnot. And I said, I think in the first 3 days of being here at Dalton, I met more former players than I met in 8 years being at Roswell. So I think there's definitely a tradition of excellence and a tradition of how you carry yourself. And, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I didn't get the fortunate and the lucky nature to have met Coach Chappell, but I feel like all the lessons that he's taught people, you know, you kind of feel it and you hear it. The just the discipline and how you handle yourselves, you can kind of sense it in every player that speaks about Coach Chappell and any coach really that's been here at this program. But no, there's a lot of great traditions. I said, you know, I'm super excited, like just as a personal note, high school football nerd myself, to like be able to be at Harmon Field and be at a game for the first time. I've never had the pleasure of experiencing that, but the stories I hear about how awesome it is there, and you know, the tradition of the catwalk of us coming off the buses with the fire department behind or in front of us going into the stadium. And you know, that's one of the things growing up at Warner Robins that I loved. It was the entire town, you know, would be down for the game and would be there to support the team, whether that's a good or bad, you know. And it's hoping we got to bring that back here and put something on the field that everybody can be proud of here in Dalton.
Hey, John, you're a fellow football nerd.
No, but I mean, you think about it.
Have you been to Dalton, a game in Dalton?
Oh, I've been to Chappell. I've been to Chappell Harmon a million times. Yeah, I mean, it's Alf Anderson coached for 17. Bill Chappell coached for 33. Then you had Bill McManus and Ronnie McClurg, who were assistants under Chappell. They coached for the next 11. Matt Land after Adam Weingarten. Matt Land was there for 11. So there's an opportunity for success and for longevity, because if you're there, you're there and you're one of them and you get to stay there for that really long time. So there's an opportunity here, Coach, I would think, to add to that pedigree with the history, knowing that if you do things right and you do things well, that you've got a home there in Dalton going forward.
I mean, you're 100% right. And that's, in all honesty, that was, if I was going to leave Roswell, it was going to be for somewhere that I could see myself at for a long time. You know, I have two young girls, and our, like we've kind of told them, is our hope is that we don't move them one more time until they're done with school and they're out of school. And that was, again, when we started looking into Dalton, that was something that my wife and I both said, you know, is something that we could definitely see ourselves being here for a really long time. I need to get it down here or up here in Dalton. It's somewhere in a box, but I had a sign at Roswell that I think our old athletic director, Coach Cohen, gave me, and it said, "Pressure is a privilege."
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of pressure that comes with that Dalton logo, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's, I don't want to be at a school, and I don't want to be in a community that doesn't care about football. You know, if I want people to care, I want people to be a part of what we're doing. I want people to be proud of what we're doing and proud of what we're building. And again, like I've been told, if we do it the right way, we'd have the right success. The whole town of Dalton will be there to watch us. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I know, like I told a couple of our older players, you know, when I got to Roswell, I told them, I said, you're going to be the winningest class in Roswell history when you leave here. And I think the last two were first and second. So, you know, we're hoping to keep that going. I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers yet, but I'm sure there's a high bar here at Dalton to be the winningest class. So, you know, we got, obviously, right, we got our work cut out for us, and, you know, just taking it one day at a time, like we've been talking about.
Well, speaking of the family, we were talking with you about Little Allie's, right? And the expensive steakhouse and the, yeah, and the restaurants.
I think there's still a meal. Yeah, I think there's still a meal that hadn't been been extended yet.
A meal owed.
They will just have to change. We'll change the location to Dalton. How about
that? Well, I was going to say, is there a new spot? I know you're just settling in, but is there a new spot in Dalton? Your favorite food? John, isn't there some historic spots?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, Oakwood Cafe for me is like the historic place.
Where's the new spot that the family's all going?
Well, so the whole family just got up here like last week.
Okay,
so we haven't had a chance yet to like go like physically go all together somewhere. But yeah. I would second. I think in the first week, I think I was taken to the Oakwood at least three or four times. But no, it's we had some help with one of our daughters this weekend, and so my family was in town. That's where we took them this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, there's a reason. If a place is open that long, they got to be doing something right. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. Like I told one of my friends, I said, you know, you imagine like the legend of somebody, if you're a high school football coach and you got a picture in a restaurant, like that may be like better than a statue type legend right there. I mean, if you have a picture inside of a restaurant, like that's pretty, pretty big.
Oh yeah. Signed. It'll be there forever. It'll mm-hmm. be there until it closes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Coach Pruitt, Dalton is so lucky to have you. We cannot wait to see what you do this season and the seasons beyond. So thank you so much for the time. And we can't wait to keep up with you this summer and into the fall.
No, I appreciate all you guys do, and just have to get you guys up here and come see it when it's packed out.
Uh-huh. And have the elote.
I'm gonna try that restaurant.
Yeah, in the Oakwood Cafe. Yeah, trust me. It's all good. Thanks as always, Coach. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Two coaches down, one to go, and there was always an acronym for this particular coach's father. He was always CMR, Coach Mark Richt.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, do we refer to this particular coach as CJR now going forward, just as an acronym? Coach John Richt?
I don't know, John.
We do
we'll
now.
We'll have to ask him.
CJR is now the new head coach at PAC. Here's our interview with John Richt.
And last but not least on the podcast today is the new Prince Avenue Christian head coach, John Richt. Hey, Coach Richt, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
And I got to say, congratulations on the promotion, OC for a couple of years. Now you're the new head coach. We have so many questions to get to, but how are you feeling and how are you settling into that role?
Oh, I'm excited. It's always a new role stepping into the head spot. So a lot of adjustment there, trying to learn a lot of the things off the field that you have to work through and work with. But ultimately, you know, got a great support staff, got a great administration, and we're doing well so far. So we're excited to get out there in spring ball here in a couple weeks and get ready to roll.
Why now? Why did you think you were ready to be a head coach now at this point in your career?
Well, I've been blessed to be a part of a lot of great organizations, coach under a lot of great head coaches. And so this past couple of years working under Coach V, he really did a great job of kind of helping me get ready for this time and this opportunity. He did a lot of things to allow me to start working my way into that role. And so he really laid the groundwork and made the transition really smooth. And now, you know, it's about, you know, going out there and putting together a great product that is going to win football games, but also is going to do it the right way and do it in a way that, you know, honors the Lord and how we do things.
Former head coach Greg Vandegrift, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. I think he was vying for your job, John. I know he wanted to be a sports commentator.
He still does. He's probably going to.
He's still texting us about that.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Five state finals in a row, winning three of those, six region championships, overall record of 107.
The only thing missing is the partridge in the pear tree here.
Unbelievable coach to learn from. What advice did he give you with your promotion?
A lot of it is just take it day by day. Understand what you got to get done today. Don't look too far in advance and focus on the details of today. Because there's a lot of things that are going to get thrown at you, things that you're not going to be able to foresee. And then you got to be able to roll with it, be able to be smart and make the decisions that you can make, but also fight the battles that you can fight. And some of them you're not going to win. Some of them you are going to win. And a lot of the things that when it comes to being a head coach is about building the culture and about creating unity on this team. And that's something that he did a really good job of, and we're going to look to continue in the next couple of years.
How would you describe your coaching style? I mean, there's a lot of different guys who approach things a lot of different ways. How would you approach, how would you refer to yourself stylistically as a coach?
I wish I was a little bit calmer. There's definitely times in which I can get fired up and get going. Of course, being a head coach, you got to be engaged a little bit more. As a coordinator, when we're on offense, when we're on the field, try to stay very calm, cool, collected, be able to train your thoughts to be able to go to the next play. But there was times in between games when, you know, the defense is on the field and we're over there working through things. So things can get a little bit more exciting, but at the same time, as a head coach, got to be someone who's got to be level playing and level headed throughout the game to make the best decision to help make sure the team's in the right position to take advantage of the opportunities that we're given. So I think for me, the big thing is I want my players not only to love the game of football, I want them to be able to be developed on the field, but off the field, growing them as young men is who I want to be known for. And so that's kind of how we approach every day, how we attack every drill, everything that we do. We try to do it to the best of our ability, and then we try to teach off of things that we can learn from and try to improve our next opportunity.
A special connection you have to the team. You graduated from PAC in 2008. This program started in 2005, so you were on those early teams. How does that help you? Fast forward, here you're the head coach. How does that help you connect with the players and I can't say build the program, but continue the success with the program?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really interesting. Actually, today, my head coach came back and saw the facility that we had just finished a year ago, and it's hands down just a head and shoulders above what we had back in the day. And we're sitting there reminiscing about, hey, remember when that was just a clay field that we'd go out there and, you know, there'd be rocks on the field and we're practicing on rocks. And now we've got a great grass field that we practice on, got an unreal stadium. We got an awesome facility with meeting rooms and awesome locker room, all the different things that come along with winning five state or being in five state championships. You know, so getting to see or know where we were and see where we've come is a big part of, you know, the capability that I'm going to be able to have that insight. So it's fun to see. It's fun to talk about with the guys. They don't know. All they know, all our guys know is going to state championships.
Yeah.
So literally, if you played on our football team for the past, I guess, since they were in seventh grade, we've basically been to a state championship. So that's all our kids know. They think we start, you know, at the beginning of August, and we don't finish till December 15th, 16th, 17th, whenever that state championship, that's when our season ends. And so for them, it's a mindset, and being able to take them back to those times and kind of humble them and get them ready to continue to fight for the things that we've earned, the things that we've gotten. And so now we've got to be able to continue to put those things together and make the best of what we've got.
When you have a question about being a head coach, doesn't matter what it's about. I mean, it could be logistical. It could be, you know, something off the field having nothing to do with athletics.
Are you really going to ask him this question?
Yeah.
I feel like the answer is obvious.
Maybe, but is he number one?
Okay.
Who's on your speed dial when you have a question about being a coach, and in what order are those individuals?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. Number one's probably going to be Dad. He's got a wealth of knowledge, yeah. A guy that's done it at a very, very high level, done it the right way, done it the way that I try to model, the way I do a lot of the things that I do after. And so he's definitely number one. Coach V's right there at number two, if not 1.5. He's a guy that I lean on because he knows the way we do things here. We're not changing. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're not going to go out and I'm not going to say, hey, this is my way. We're going to change it and go all new. So we're doing a lot of the same things that Coach V had installed the past couple of years. So those things and those questions definitely pop up. And then, you know, ultimately I'm leaning back on, you know, our AD and those guys trying to make sure we're doing things in a way that allow them to be able to function and go forward and do things the right way as we're here.
For those who don't know, your dad's Mark Richt. Back when I worked for UGA, he was the best, interviewed him all the time, the classiest coach I've ever come across. What sort of advice has he given you? And for those who don't know as well, your coaching background, you started at UGA, you went to the Bills, Miami, then you ended up at PAC. You've gotten to bump shoulders with some seriously prominent coaches. What have you learned? What are some of the biggest things you've learned along the way that you're going to implement there as a head coach?
Yeah, I think the big thing is you go to all these different opportunities, all these different places, and you take from each one of those coaches certain things. So, you know, being able to coach under my dad in two different instances with UGA as a kind of low down the totem pole quality control, where I'm having to do a lot of the work for Coach Bobo and those guys.
Which so is really important. Really, it's important skills.
It is. It's awesome because that's where you really learn football in those positions. And you're breaking down film. You're constantly doing things to help those coordinators be in the right mindset, be in the right game plan and all that kind of stuff. And so Coach Bobo is another guy who really kind of molded the way that I do things, especially offensively. But then, you know, under Dad and then Rex Ryan at the Buffalo Bills was awesome. It's a completely different world in the NFL. So seeing him and how he handled things professionally there on that level was really good to see. And just the way that he treated his players and how he was not just an NFL coach to them. He really did try to engage with those guys, which was fun to see. He's one of those guys that, you know, if you're looking from the outside in, you don't really know everything that guy does for the organization and for his team, for his coaches. So he was really special one for me to be under. And then, you know, getting back to work with Dad at Miami and then Coach V here at Prince, and just seeing the different levels. I mean, every level is different. From, you know, the NFL to college to high school, there's a lot of different challenges that come along with those roles. And not one of them is necessarily crazier than the other. They all have different things. And nowadays in college, it's even more crazy with the NIL and the portal and all that kind of stuff going on. And as a high school coach, we're dealing with it on the back end. You know, how does that affect us helping our kids get recruited into college and using those contacts and those different things and the different things that we do to try to help our kids get those opportunities? So just really pulling from all of those guys, understanding, you know, who they are, what I can pull from, but then understand who I am and how I want to do things is ultimately, you know, kind of how we do it.
Well, we've interviewed Coach V at the championships every year. We'll see if it's your turn this December and have you up on the set and we'll see. I know the Wolverine Nation there is excited to have you. And we're excited to see what you do with the program as well. So thanks so much for your time and letting us catch up with you today.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me on.
And that's, like I said, that's just a small sample of all of the names that we were talking about here and all of the new folks and new places and just new folks coming back and folks leaving the state, coming back in the state. But no, that's just a small sample of what we're looking at in 25.
It's April.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Means that nothing stops.
I just don't know where this year has gone already. What is going on in the high school football world right now, John?
Everybody's getting ready for spring practice. Yeah. I mean,
coming back from spring break.
Spring break is done, and so now you're getting ready for spring practices, and we've heard a couple of the coaches reference getting ready for spring practice, and then
7-on-7 summer ball coming up.
Yeah, and then by the time, you know, we come back in, you know, May, we're going to be that much closer to summer practice and getting ready for everything, and everybody getting back to be with one another. So no, there is no off season. It just takes different forms. Mm-hmm. So now that it's time, we have to find out what's going on and get our words of wisdom before we go.
Mm. I really need those.
Marky Mark and his stretching.
I don't think we've all done enough stretching on this podcast.
Marky Mark is still trying to figure it out. You know, the words of wisdom having to do with stretching and being limber and making sure that the body responds the way that they should. So you can be a producer and produce fantastic programming on a monthly basis this time of year. So words of wisdom, sir, here as we are in the pollen season, as you can tell, the pollen season going forward. Your words of wisdom today, sir.
All right. So beforehand, we were talking about how... Actually, okay.
We're talking prog rock, but yeah.
That's actually what I was going to bring up here.
Uh-oh.
That's what I wanted to check. And this will also go out to Jeremy as well. If he can join. Oh, no, this is going to go out to you on this. So we were talking about how you love Rush on that.
That is true. R50 is out, by the way, yes.
Ooh, gotcha. So I wanted you to explain to me, what is your deep love of Rush? And I'm going to say, like, my favorite power trio, it's, I know... It's a little bit of
a... Hannah's looking at this going, what are you talking about?
Of a, like awesome. A side thing on this. So like, beside, obviously the Jimi Hendrix experience and everything's great on that.
Left-handed guitarist, you can never go wrong.
That's true. You are very correct there. But my favorite part of his career is actually the Band of Gypsies, like after the experience broke up.
Okay.
What does this have to do with words of wisdom?
I just wanted to talk about this. Straight up.
I thought the segment was words of wisdom.
And somehow it turned into
the words of wisdom
Rush's
are enjoy your prog rock and enjoy your music.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I mean, come on.
Hannah, like, that's the strongest wrap it up I've ever heard.
Oh, dang. Well, okay, so.
It's just not on segment. I don't feel any wisdom.
I have not been wisdomed. It's expand your music taste.
See, there you go.
Okay.
That is expand your musical tastes into the progressive rock of the 1970s and going forward. But to answer your question.
There's questions involved with this?
Yeah, Marky Mark wanted to know what the attraction was to Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I will tell you, it came from the Signals album.
Okay.
And Subdivisions. And the song resonated with me at a time of my life when you needed that kind of reinforcement. And if you go back and listen to the song, here's your assignment, everybody. Go back and listen to Signals. Go see the video. The music video for Subdivisions as well speaks to the volume of what the song means. And so it started with Subdivisions. It continued with the album Signals. I went forward from Signals. And then after that, I gradually went back to Permanent Waves and Fly By Night and things like that. And I had a cassette of the first album that Rush produced, and I burned a hole in that cassette in my car. So that was
so enlightening. I feel so inspired, and I think that is a wrap on that segment, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Football Friday in Georgia podcast here at the GPB studios with our new fancy backdrop, new fancy lights. If you're not watching on the video version, y'all are missing out. Football season will be here before you know it. Follow us on social media at GBB Sports for all the things. And we'll get John back next month, maybe, because that last segment was, you know, really inspiring. He might just float off into space now. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.